for us to start today, it would be very powerful. Taylor, if you could share your inspiration about the superheroes being on the call, so we can deal with that. Why don't you just talk about that right away?
That's an excellent idea. So, you know, I believe it was this past week sometime, but time is flying so fast, who the heck knows. And Mr. McIntosh and I were having a little chit-chat. And somewhere in there, this idea rolled around that, hey, these calls, let's face it, these superhero biweekly calls are gold. Gold. They're
best,
better than
best
gold.
Best in the world.
They're so off the charts. And I was reflecting on just how off the charts they are and what pure...
Incomparable.
I mean, absolutely. And I thought, well, hold on a minute. Because Michael and I were working on creating a webinar, you know, to share with this new upcoming, we're going to be opening the training for new enrollments, and we were like, oh, all right, why don't we create a webinar? And we were talking about the webinar, and then it dawned on me, hold on a minute. You know, if the best thing on the planet to give people as a real download and experience of what's happening in the superhero training are these calls. Like, there's no better webinar. There's no better anything.
I've been saying it all along, baby, right since the day go. You go back through all those recordings, Michael McIntosh has got them under his bed.
well, Nick. There you have it. So we finally caught up with you and got that. Because you're over there in Maui sending out broadcasts of everything, it just hit us like a lightning bolt between the eyes.
I'm hiding in the graveyard because everywhere I go, people are just mobbing me.
Well, anyways, and we realized that there's a few things here. One, the best people to have in this next round of the superhero training are superheroes, friends, and family, and community. That's what needs to happen. And those should be the first
steps. Hallelujah.
The people in your lives who you want to have be partners in this training so you aren't on an island unto yourself. And why send out to some 4,000-person email list of just random people, which we can do, and certainly, you know, we're prepared to do to open the train up, but it's like, why? Why do that when really, who we should be opening this next round of the superhero training slots to are your friends, family, and community. There's no better way for them to have an experience, in my view anyways, of being next to you sharing about it than you inviting them to one of these calls where they can really have a direct experience of this level of support and level of conversations that are taking place here. Where else are these kind of conversations taking place on a biweekly basis? Globally, with, you know, superheroes all over the planet really stepping up the plate and saying what's sharing what they need for their next level of evolution and spiritual growth. And so
that's
why...
It could be superhero radio as well. We should be broadcasting out with the radio station, I reckon.
That's a good idea. I like
that.
Yeah,
we can do that. Yeah, let's do that, Nick and Taylor. Let's do a superhero radio show, like a podcast radio show.
Yeah.
We could easily
What's the action? What's the action?
Don't worry,
media?
We'll talk about that afterwards. We've already got it set up, bro. It's easy. Yeah.
But anyways, meanwhile, so we quickly... you know, sent out the invite, which maybe some of you saw, maybe you didn't, but now you're hearing about it, and so you'll know, to welcome you to invite your friends and family or whoever to this call. So, Michael, do we know if we have guests on this call, or how would we know
I didn't get anything from anyone in terms of emails. If anyone's on the call right now live and they have someone who's a friend or family who wants to, or you know, whether or not they're there or not, just if you're on the phone, press *2 and let us know, because I can see that. if you have anyone with you on the phone who is a new superhero, one of your friends and family, press star 2, we'll let us know. And if you're on the webcast, listening to this on your computer, then just write something in the chat box. And
yeah,
I can see that as well.
Yeah, it would be nice to know. In any case, whether you do or not, now you know, we're going to make this available, you know, as an opportunity for you to be able to really share the experience of the superhero training. So, and we're excited about it. And so, there you have it. So that's the new opportunity, because the next round of superhero, the new inflow of programs begins on the new moon, correct, Michael?
Yeah.
Which is May 9th, coming right up. And
coming
so
right up,
this, yeah. Yeah, so this is a good time to be looking at, like, all right, because look, here's, you know, this is the time right now where it's time to really step up to the plate. Fully up to the plate. And not just mess around and be like, well, you know, maybe someday they will. But really, you want to really seize the intense opportunity and potential of the energy right now in this month of May is like none other we've ever been in, ever, ever, ever. And there's so much creation and potential and possibility here for miracles and magic and manifestation to not be utilizing it to the fullest and kind of dragging your friends and community by the scruff of the neck and getting them up to the next level of their evolution is a missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. It's time for us to be doing that with those that we love and those that we want to be in union and communion with. It's critical. It's a critical time. And I know I'm certainly doing that. I'm just, everyone I run into, they're like, if I hear one peep of anything that sounds like they aren't living in nirvana, then I'm like, okay, good. Here's what you can do about it. Boom, boom, boom. And that's really our job, not only as superheroes, but as leaders of light and as ambassadors to the new earth that we're all creating right now. We're living it. We're already there. And, you know, either we're going to bring with us those who we really want to be in partnership and community and union with, or not. But now's the time to do it. There's nothing to wait for. This is it, as I see it. And so this is a great opportunity in this next round here coming up. And we'll offer whatever support we can by way of having people having experience the program and getting their questions answered so they can really sort it out. Is this for me or not? I mean, there's really not a whole lot to sort out. It's really just a question of if your spiritual growth and evolution is a priority for you, a top priority for you, this is the program to be in. And, you know,
that's absolutely right. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, you know, like another way of looking at it as well is that, as time goes on, people will basically complain to us all if we didn't tell them about things. You know, this is something, I'm not trying to put guilt trip on anyone, and I'm not trying to make any shame anyone or anything like that. But, like, if one of you guys knew about all this stuff and I wasn't told about it from you and I needed it and I wanted it and you never said anything to me, I'm not going to be happy with you because I need help and you didn't say anything. So it's compassion and mercy and love for us to, you know, from our hearts, not for any other reason, but just genuinely just to care, to show up and say, look, here's something that's super valuable. I'm invested my time and energy into this thing. I'm getting benefit. I want you to get the benefit as well. And that's a loving gesture, you know, and people, because we, you know, things in the world are getting crazy and they're going to get more crazy and there's huge transformations happening. So either people are going to go down the plug, in a sense, if they try and hold on to the old way, or they're on the new way. And so, you know, it's like kind of becoming more more extreme. So why not have that genuine love and compassion to help them, you know, give them a leg up, give them a hand up, and put them in the right direction? The only situation where you wouldn't want to do that is if someone is adamantly not interested in this sort of thing, and they have to go through their own life lessons to learn, which is, you know, fair enough. That's their karma. But if someone is interested in these sort of things and is, you know, open, then absolutely go out of your way to, you know, change their life. You know, they'll be so grateful for you for years and years and years and years and years to come. I'm so grateful I learn all these things. And if you're grateful, then share the love with people. And, you know, they're welcome to ask us questions on the call as well if they want, if they have anything they want to talk about. We'd love to have that. Lovely to have the community support each other. You know, that's the idea we've had for the training, is that we all make this work together, you know. Beautiful thing, and it's self-sustaining from all of us. So, anyone else want to say anything about that? Nick, any last thoughts on this wonderful family?
Now let's keep those questions packing, brother.
So, here we are with, let's have a look at our questions. Right, so we've got one from Ruby. Ruby says, "Hello, Uncle Nick and Brother Michael. Just wondering if you could perhaps discuss your feelings about Gerald O'Donnell's latest messages, and namely the one called 'We Stand on the Brink.' My heart has felt heavy since reading this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Ruby."
Yeah, hey, Ruby. I can talk to you about Gerald's. It's like Gerald knows what's going on. You know, like he's in the experience. Gerald knows what's going on. Taylor Korn knows what's going on. Michael McIntosh knows what's going on, and he's able to communicate these things. And Gerald's a very, very, very heavy guy. And listen to what he says, particularly his last one. And I think the last one was, you know, like, oh my, I was like, thank God for that, because the one that you're talking about, when I heard that, and I spoke to Gerald. I have private conversations with Gerald. He's one of my friends. And he told me something before he did that download from Jerusalem, the one you're talking about, the on the brink. And he told me that England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and all of Europe, Northern Europe, everything, will be completely inundated by water. And he said, the one told me. And I did an interview with him. And he told me this before we did the interview, before we recorded it. Our arrangement was to call in, connect, redial in the conference number. So that's what we did. So we went on, and he's like, I'm like calling him up to tell this news, and he didn't through the whole interview. And at the end of the interview, I said to him, why didn't you say that? And he said, because I didn't want to frighten the people. I didn't want to freak everybody out. And then he did, when with the brink, on the brink. He did freak everybody out with what he said, and he was kind of, in a way, a little negative. And I feel that if he had told the truth, what he was seeing and being told to say, if he had told the truth to me in that interview, he maybe wouldn't even have to have done that that blast that he did called On the Brink. Because if he'd have just told the truth, I would have said, well, you know, that's your probable future, bro. That's your probablefuture.com. That's what you are. And we're the solution. And it's all amazing grace. It's all an X factor. And Gerald's dialed in. He's got his finger on the pulse. He's the only guy out of all of us. I don't do it. I certainly don't do it. He goes into Jerusalem, into the heart of Jerusalem, and goes into extreme altered states of consciousness in deep delta wave, brainwave frequencies, totally 1,000% awake in his super conscious. And he goes traveling through the octaves. And I have another friend of mine in there who's been in there for about five years. His name's Marco. He did Gentle Warrior with me at Noni Land. He was one of the very, very, very first real superheroes. Taylor knows Marco. And so, you know, these guys are in there doing it. You're not doing it. I'm not doing it. Michael's not doing it. So, you know, when they do those kind of things and they're soul conscious and they go up, what are they experiencing when they go up? They're able to describe it. Gerald's one of those who's able to describe it. And he does it very, very, very eloquently and articulately and with a tremendous amount of wisdom. So check out his latest stuff. Never mind the negative, ever. David Icke, Gerald O'Donnell, Nick Good. It doesn't matter. Never mind the negative. What you've got to do is you embrace it, accept it, accommodate it. This is what evil's for. You can't escape tasting it in your life. Jesus says we're born into sin. The world is infinite. It already was when you were born. You know what I mean? It's not your fault that it is like it is when you were born into it, but it is like it is. So you're born into that. Superhero training is to help you extricate yourself from that and clean yourself off and be liberated from that. And it's very, very, very heavy. And if Charles getting heavy, he's only, you know... Don't worry about Charles. COAPPB.
Absolutely. I think it's good to not deny the fact the world is in a very terrible state in many, many ways. And, you know, people, when they express it, it freaks people out. Everyone likes to, you know, avoid looking at stuff clearly. But the main thing is that we have a choice. What we create in our own lives and create our own futures, you know. So it's good to have that wake-up call and to realize how serious things are. And also, I want to just mention quickly that things can happen suddenly. Suddenly, things can happen. Things can fall apart suddenly. Wonderful things can happen suddenly. So it's good for us all to be aware of the word suddenly. We don't know what is going to happen all of a sudden. So we need to be ever ready, you know, and we need to have the practice of going beyond and being able to stabilize ourselves in a state beyond or everything as a general way of being. Because when strange things do happen all of a sudden, we need that practice. And that's, we talk about this a lot in the training. So it's just good to, you know, enjoy your life, focus on where you want to go, be stoked about everything, and also just be conscious of the fact that things can happen suddenly, and they are happening suddenly. You know, earthquakes happen suddenly, people die suddenly, people win the lottery suddenly, you know, people, all sorts of good and bad, and all everything in the middle happens quickly and suddenly, and time is speeding up. So you don't need to be freaked out about all of the drama, but you do need to be on your game and take this to heart so that you're stable, you know. So, fantastic. Let's have a look at this next question here from Aria. Hopefully I pronounced that right. If anyone else wants to re-pronounce that, she's written her pronunciation here. Aria, pronounced R-E, like Australia. So that should hopefully make sense. She says, love and blessings to you all. Thank you for your love and support. I've been experiencing since starting the training, but even more so in the past few weeks, that in the space of one day, I can range from excitement, bliss, peace, gratitude, and infinite patience to then have these other feelings bubble up that do not vibrate with these states at all, like impatience, frustration, and judgment. It's been an onslaught at times to dig in and stay connected to my soul. Do you guys still experience these states? And do you have further insight? I'd love to hear your point of view on this. P.S. I now recognize and can observe these states better than I used to. It used to get me down on myself, but since doing Supergirl training, I've learned, first of all, to love all of me, and second, that all these are probably old emotions bubbling up to love and release. Having said that, I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. What a fantastic question. Taylor, what do you think?
Well, there's no doubt that I can experience those and all of those things second by second, actually. Yeah, you know, these are amazing times we're living in, and all of our being is being reorganized at a very fundamental, cellular, beyond really human word definition explanation. And so we're going to be feeling a lot and moving through a lot. And, you know, it really is, especially now, I love that spring is in its intensity as it is, because it's real easy to kind of look outside and watch what's happening with nature. Just like almost overnight, you can see things grow. And, you know, we are one. We are all one with that. And so that exact same level of growth and evolution and movement and just completely out of control expansion is occurring for all of us. And that can look a myriad of ways, but it's one big ride, that's for darn sure. And I find that the best way to kind of be in the flow with it is to see it as such, you know, not to get too hung up or caught up in anything. But, yeah, I think that's pretty darn natural to be going through all of those different emotional states, feeling states, experiences, you know, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, all at once, you know, all throughout the day, simultaneously, any variation on that theme. I mean, I was just, prior to this call, I was on another call, and we were just kind of sharing a similar conversation about how it's almost, I almost feel like life right now is surreal somehow. It's not, doesn't even seem quote unquote real, whatever that is, because it is so just such a blend of so many different things all at once is occurring, and many of which we aren't even, you know, probably consciously aware of. And so, and I think the game is, or the task is, or certainly what it allows for, if you're really in the flow with it all, is to move more into being in the present state, being in the now, not being attached, being able to be more fluid and move with alacrity from all those things, you know, not really getting caught up in drama or, you know, spiraling down into having any of it really mean anything at all. And that's the real opportunity of being given such a high intensity of so much occurring all at once that, as we are, is to, it really, in a way, forces us to be more in the current present moment and now of reality. And that's...
And hey, Taylor, sorry for interrupting, sweetie. And I just wanted to emphasize that bit that you're talking about, it's really very, very okay for it to be cathartic these days, and actually needs to be cathartic, because it's like a purging of the emotional body. We're hanging on to so much stuff, our frustration, not just as individuals, but our tribes and humanity. Woman, it needs to be cathartic, you know, the men's release, all of our release. And so we need to think about this, you know, really carefully. How can we cathartic this? Do you know what I'm saying, Taylor? Emotionalize it in a ritualistic way.
I do, and it's really what Gerald is saying, by the way. You know, what he's talking about, that we're on the brink, is the same thing. It's all the same conversation, really. Because things do need to change. Reality as we know it is changing. It's kind of like we're either on that game and we're on for that ride, or we're in resistance of it. But it's going to happen either way. And so rather than be in fear about that or see it as, well, what does he really mean by that? What do you mean? I don't know, that doesn't seem, but it really is just an opportunity to embrace it and opening to receive and go with it. Really great. What is it I can let go of? What is it that's not all wonderful for me? Where is it that I can release even more?
Because you know that, Taylor.
What?
That Jesus said that you're either with me or against me. So you're either with us or you're against us. There's no gray area in life in these matters.
No
sitting out the game. Do you know what I mean? There's no spectator area in life at all. We're all in the game, and the game is you're either with us or you are actually playing against us.
Yeah, and it's a full-on game. It's not there. It isn't building up. It isn't like, well, I wonder when that's all going to happen. It's happening. It's right now. It's happening right now. We're in it right now. We're in the eye of the whole enchilada right now. This is it.
It is, and it's a terrible, terrible eye if you're not prepared for it. It's day of reckoning. It's time of reckoning. It's epoch of reckoning. It's era of reckoning. And what we're in now is that kind of an era. And we're very, very blessed. It's an incredible honor to be where we are, a position in this place in life. And in some of the spiritual teachings, and some of the most secret and sacred spiritual teachings, it talks about this particular moment in space-time drama as actually being, you know, an absolute pinnacle point for soul consciousness. Because we are witnessing this great shift in ourselves, you see. We are witnessing this great shift within oneself, and this is the thing. This is the great thing. Jesus said the mystery of love is revealed in us. That's what Christ and God, the whole frequency, the whole wave, the Divine Mother, the Holy Spirit, it comes through us, through our heart center. Remember, there's only three centers. Our hearts, our minds, and our belly breathing, our belly breath. If you've been ignoring your belly breath, you're not anchored in. If you've been ignoring your heart, you're not locked up. And if you've been ignoring your field of consciousness in your third eye center, you're not enlightened. You see? And when you are. When God's in the house, you know, it doesn't turn off. The lights don't run out.
Yeah. And in the Gita it says that your final thought leads you to your destination. Your final thought leads you to your destination. And your final thought that you have in life is going to be whatever you think about most of the time. It's not that we can have a wonderful thought at the end when the rest of our life we've been having negative thoughts and not paying attention to things. And what Nick was just talking about, these different levels of things, it's not that all of a sudden we'll just pull it off at the last minute and we haven't had any practice.
Yeah, it's good to think about these things. We've been churning these deep things for years on end. Sitting on our asses on wooden floors, you know what I mean? We've done it. We've clocked in and clocked out in the yoga room, bro. Thinking about these deep things, turning these deep things, this is what a superhero psyche is made of.
Yeah, you know, you won't hear this stuff on most calls. Most calls, they're just going to pamper your ego. They're just going to tell you everything's best ever and don't worry about anything and, you know... But we're not trying to freak you out. We're just trying to get you prepared for whatever happens. Because one thing I like to think of is that don't worry about, you know, world destruction and the whole thing blowing up and things like that. But we don't know the date of our own death. You know, you don't know the date of your own death. I don't know the date of my own death. So if it doesn't matter about the world, don't worry about like everyone in the world and the whole world, because all we have to worry about is living our own lives in the most wonderful way, aligning ourselves with truth, being on our own mission, and that will take care of itself, you know. So you don't have to think really about other things too much. Just focus on what you've got to do. And I like this example of in a movie, the hero actor is just paying attention, you know, the heroine, they pay attention to their own part. They pay attention to what they are doing. They don't wonder about what everyone else is doing and what the cameraman is doing and what this other, you know, they're focused on doing what they're supposed to do. And that is why they're the hero. That's why they are the ones who are the top performers, because they're focused on what they need to do. If you're looking around at what everyone else is doing all the time, wondering about this, wondering about that, you're not going to be on your game. So, you know, if you want just to make sure that you get where you want to go in your life, just focus on what you've got to do. Focus, 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 focus. Then it's going to lead you to your destination. If you think about destruction, craziness, world falling apart all the time, then, you know, what's that going to do for you? So just be clear on where you want to pay your attention to. And when it comes to this question we just got asked about, you know, the emotions, I would say, I mean, just speaking for myself, that, you know, that I have different days. Most of the time, I mean, I have to say luckily nowadays, most of my inner state is very wonderful. But there are times for sure where I feel frustrated, where I might get annoyed about something, where I might be confused or maybe afraid of what's going to happen or slightly stressed or something like this. I get affected by relationships more than other things, you know, like money and stuff like that doesn't bother me much. But if there's weird stuff in relationships, I find that quite challenging to deal with. And but no matter what it is that's causing that friction, the method is always the same, and the method is just give it up, let it go, surrender it, and refocus on that higher channel, change the channel, let it go. You know, I'm a big fan of man above, which we have in the training, man above, which means let it go, surrender everything to the one, let it all go. Don't hold on to it. Don't spin around in a circle, round. Get it. Let go. And, you know, in a way, there's a nice expression, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Because, you know, we don't need to, we can't take care of everything ourselves. It's not what we're supposed to do. Just heard an expression, someone shared this with me a few minutes ago. Hiring heaven, you know. Just hire heaven. So that's a good, hire the divine. Don't worry about doing it yourself. That seems to be what the superhero challenge is that whenever stuff comes up, let it go, hire heaven, let go, let God, let things come through. Don't focus on it. Don't get caught up in it. And also, at the same time, don't expect that these emotions are not going to come. They probably will come till the end. They're probably going to be there your whole life on some level. And but the main thing, like you said in your question, your ability to not beat yourself up, not take it personally, not get spun out about it, is the success. So in the past, you might have been like, oh, God, I've had a bad day. I can't handle everything. It's all completely crazy. And now you're like, okay, I'm watching this happen. Isn't this interesting? All right, now I just need to let it go. There's a neutral feeling about everything. And there's, in a way, a sense of amusement around it. If you can get to the point where you actually feel amused and find it funny that these feelings are there, then you can pretty much deal with it. When I find myself super pissed off about something and I laugh about how pissed off I am about it, then it's gone. You know, it's just job is done. But as long as I'm taking it seriously, then it's very unpleasant. So just keep letting go. Don't take it personally. Don't take it as if you've done anything wrong. It's just stuff coming up that needs to be cleared. Be light about it. Be amused about it. And release it. That's what works for me.
Yeah, I would just add to that, you know, on this topic of hiring heaven, truth is, we don't need to hire heaven. Heaven is already, we are already living there, and it is all surrounding us. And the only thing between us and having access to it is asking. Ask and you shall receive. And there's all just manners of limitless, invisible support standing by patiently, waiting for us to be a request for it. Yeah, the other thing I want to say is I did this session on this woman the other night. She wanted to kill herself. And somehow, this is rare. I don't usually get these people. They don't make it to me. But her sister dragged her, I guess, over. And anyways, what she said, she was saying, I said, well, what's the situation? You know, why don't you just tell me a little about what's going on in your life? And essentially what she said was, I'm just living a life that's not me. And I said, oh, well, what's that look like? And so she described, you know, what her life would look like. And she said that two or three times, maybe even more. Yeah, I feel like it's just not me. I feel like my job isn't me. I feel like, you know, my relationship, where I'm living, blah, blah, blah. And she kept saying that over and over again. And, well, often I see that, you know, when I channeled sort of their guides or the communities of light, they're all often, they aren't usually very gracious and often just sort of gently nudge people in the direction of being able to have a discovery for themselves. In this case, it was just a full-on, almost at a high volume of conversation that, like, great, well, it sounds to me like what there is for you to do is every single thing in your current life needs to go. All of it. 180 degrees. You need to shift. And nothing other than that's going to work. Why? Because you've said now a minimum of 5 times, everything in your life is not you. And so it all needs to go. Just your job, where you're living, your relationship, it all needs to go. And that's what there is to do. And she didn't say anything for a few minutes. I mean, it was pretty direct. You know, again, usually guides are not that direct. She said, well, what exactly do you mean by that? They said, you need to move. You need to, you know, stop that job. You need, and they went through the list once again, just so there was no, you know, gray areas at all. And what you'll have as a result of that 180-degree shift is you will no longer be who you say you are right now, which is not yourself. And that's essentially what we're all in many ways being asked to do. If we are not living right now consistent with who we are, if we are not living in this you know, fuller connection with our soul and higher self, in the bigger part of who we are, then by God, we need a 180-degree shift. And that is what the superhero train is about, is giving you the tools to just, you know, just eradicate, just woof, all right, let's just lay this whole thing out in a map and like, whoa, okay, oh, okay, I can see, yeah, I am not living my, this is not who I am. This is not who I am. You know, and it was a very simple yet profound conversation with this woman, and it took about 10 minutes for her to realize that was all there was to do. And she, while she was, you know, kind of, you know, had a lot of intrepidation, because what that meant was that she had no clue about anything then. You know, no clue about anything, which is, you know, good, because if she did, she'd be in who she was, which we already know was not who she was. So to be able to be in nothing and not knowing anything was, you know, the first good step in the right direction toward her becoming who she really was. And so this is what's the primary opportunity right now where we're living, is to have this level of 180-degree shifts occur instantaneously. And it can be just like that, instantaneously. It can actually be like that. You know, I actually did witness that with her. And there really is nothing to fear but fear itself. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. And all negative thoughts are an illusion. And she had a realization of that. She could actually see that all those thoughts rolling around in her head as to why, you know, she's living in this life that wasn't hers at all, wasn't who she was at all, were just, they weren't even real. None of them were real at all. And the enormous amount of freedom just to be able to let that all go. And so, you know, that was just a little small demonstration, but a really graphic one of what we can provide for others in our community and in our family and friends and network of transformation right now. That's available right now. And there's a great deal of support to have those kind of monumental shifts and to have them go very smoothly. She called me today and she said, you know, her big fears was that her family would think she was crazy and out of her mind, you know, if she called them tomorrow and said, I'm leaving New York City, I'm quitting my job, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing, and that her boss would freak out because he just gave her this huge raise and, you know, she had this really good job, actually, you know, which in this economy you just don't get rid of just because you hate it. And she called me today to say she called her mother and told her she was doing all that, you know, changing her life 180 degrees. And her mom said, "Oh, I'm so happy for you." You know, because everyone could tell she was miserable, of course. And then she called her boss and told him that, and she said, "You know, now maybe I can kind of phase out and do it slowly. You know, I don't know." And he said, "Are you kidding me? Like, look, you know, just go for it. Like, just quit. Just go for it, man. If I were you, if I had that notion, I would do that." You know, and every single person she had a conversation with to tell them she was doing this radical, completely insane, makes no sense whatsoever, 180-degree switch, was excited as could be for her. And so, you know, this is the kind of times we're living in. This is the magic and synchronicity that's available to us when we really do tell the truth and are willing to stand in a space that may not make sense and doesn't have any future whatsoever before it, other than us doing what we love and following our heart and soul and asking for divine support.
Yeah, this is the time we're living in. And that's a great story, Taylor. And there's a book I've just been reading, which I recommend everyone gets their hands on. It's called The Icarus Deception by Seth Godin. And basically, he's talking about this exact thing, that we're living in a world now where the old way of being comfortable, following the system, doing the usual nonsense, you know, paying, you know, living someone else's dream, you know, being a good worker and all that sort of thing, that actually is not safe anymore. That's not even a road to safety. People who are trying to climb up the corporate ladder and stay in the system actually are screwed, because you can lose your job at any minute. You know, things aren't working like they used to. We're living in an unpredictable world. And the only thing that is going to guarantee you success nowadays is your innovation and your ability to be flexible and your ability to, you know, do wonderful things, make a difference and show up and add value to people's lives and really do your thing. So if you don't do it, you're in trouble nowadays. Whereas in the past, if you did that, you know, you might be outcast and it might be a problem. But now things are so different in the world that you need to be original, do your thing, live on purpose, do what you love, make a difference in order to survive. And that's, you know, that's how come we're doing what we do. We only do what we love. We make a difference to people's lives. We show up and do our stuff. And we're doing more and more unusual things as time goes on. And we're excited about that. And the superhero training is all about you doing that as well. You know, we want to see you do whatever it is you're here to do. Get out there and get on with it. Make it happen. Do it quickly. Have fun with it. Don't hold back. Don't worry about being shamed. Don't worry about failing. Don't worry about things not working out. It doesn't matter. Just go and do it anyway. Have fun with it, you know. So I recommend just buying that book. You know, we've talked about this a lot, but that's just a really good book. The Icarus Deception, Icurs. And it's just going to get you to get on with whatever it is that you need to do. Because that's the new way to be. Icarus Deception by Seth, SethGodin.
So, bro, Icarus is a very, very, very important archetype for the superhero to comprehend. Very, very, very important for the mythological mind. You see, the soul has a mythological mind. The psyche has a mythological mind. And so if we don't think about mythological things, we don't engage part of our mind, a huge part of it. And in yoga, all the power is in the mind or comes through the mind. That's just the yogic perspective, the yogic philosophy. And we yogis are eternal, immortal yogi superheroes having the best day ever. That's what we are. So you've got to think about these things. And Icarus because of falling. Okay? Because falling too close to the sun, on wings he made himself. He made them from eagle's feathers. Eagle's feathers that he had harvested, that means he's a warrior. So this is the ascent of the young warrior, that part of you that is ambitious and wants to conquer the world. And this time is over. So Icarus, the ascending Icarus, the warrior who glues feathers, eagle's feathers, to his strong arms with beeswax and flies away from all of his detractors, all the negativity, all of his self-doubts, his fears, and he flies towards his zenith. So what it is, it's the ascent of the ego. That's all it is. In a glorified form. This is Greek mythology. Greek mythology, the whole body of Greek thought was dedicated to one thing and one thing only. The understanding of the ego. That's all it was. That's all it was there for, and it did it. And he communicated this understanding through these stories. Icarus, the story of Icarus, the deception, and the fall of Icarus are the two most important things for the spiritual warrior to comprehend. Superheroes. See? And Angel Qigong is the practice to do, because when your wings are coming down, it is Icarus landing. Now, this is a very, very, very important, great, great secret here. And I can pretty much say that, you know, we are the only broadcasting station in the world talking about these things of such power, of such incredible power. When Icarus is landing, what's happening? You see, he's gone to the zenith. It's the ego's ascension, where the ego becomes a victim of his own success. You know? And we see this in our rock stars and athletes, musicians, actors, in a very, very, very obviously toxic way. Our heroes, our role models. And then we witness not just toxic, but extremely shocking to the core of our soul in the most horrific and gruesome way in our politicians and elite society. So, this is a time of great awakening, brutal awakening for many of us. So we need to take all of it and just anchor it in practice. It all has to be anchored in practice, anchored in practice, anchored in practice. And Angel Qigong helps you the Icarus in you to land. Because our egos ascend and then they go to a point where they will be destroyed. 1,000% guaranteed, destroyed. But the consciousness that this story represents, because when you understand the ego, the only reason you want to understand the ego is for one thing too. One single thing. How to liberate the soul. How to liberate the indwelling spirit. How to liberate the consciousness. You see? So that's proven in the demonstration. Jesus says the mystery of love will be revealed in you. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Icarus has to land. There's no choice in this. Jesus had to go to the cross. Skywalker had to meet Vader. Arjuna had to fight the battle. Had to. There's no choice. The only choice is how do you land? And these are the times we're in. So you can tell your friends and your circles of influence, your spheres of influence and your family, this is a Icarus landing time, according to these superhero fellows that I rather like at the moment. Can you imagine that now? This is your homework assignment. Imagine, Icarus, imagine yourself, you've made these wings, you're flying towards the sun. Well, how would you be feeling? You're noble, you're virtuous, you're young, you're ambitious, you're such a positive thinker. You're so strong and capable and ingenious. And you do it. And it boosts your self-confidence and boosts your self-confidence as you fly away from that egoic world, that old world, which is who you used to be before you came to superhero training. Who we used to be before we started superhero training or before we did any personal development whatsoever. That's Icarus when he's on the ground. Now you've reached the zenith, you who are listening now. How are you going to land? What processes, what virtues, what powers, what parts of yourself need to be visited in order to land successfully in the world? And this is such an important archetype to click with as a spiritual warrior, because it really defines the context of the game we're playing in right now in a perfect mythological metaphor, in a perfect artistic image in our minds. Icarus has to land. That's you now, listening to this. Consciousness awakening. The hero part. How are you going to do that? Only practice can prepare you. It helps you to understand the nature of your destiny, what lies ahead for you as a spiritual warrior on the path. You see, I've already had my initiations. I've had dreadful initiations in this life. The initiations that could shudder your soul. Many of them. So I've already been initiated. Most people have not. All souls will be. Especially if you've called it forth, which you have by joining this training. So this is a wonderful time, and everything is with us. The Mother Earth is with us. Nature is with us. It's going to help us land. But we still have to navigate this great challenge for our consciousness. How are you going to do that? Talk about a leap of faith. Number one, you've got to get yourself together. You've got to get hold of your mind, which is what Man Above is. You give your head to God. You see, we could talk about this for the next, 6 hours. But we have it all locked into practice. Angel Qigong is a practice. If you want to really get into Angel Qigong, it's all there for you. Icarus landing. Man Above, you've got to sort your head out. If you've just fallen out the sky and you're heading back down to Earth, you've got to sort your head out first. And at some stage, you're going to have to control your body and try and land it like a bird. And that's what Angel Qigong is, standing like that. It's a very, very, very useful meditative posture. And then the rest is just relationship with life. It's your practice. It's relationship with God, relationship with life, relationship with oneself. But just always have it at the back of the mind while you're doing whatever you're going to do, while you're going to go to sleep after listening to this and get up tomorrow and do your day and do your day and do your days and do your days and do your days. Have it in the back of your mind. You might not even see any evidence of it whatsoever. You could be sitting watching banana trees just blowing very gently in the wind with the bamboo. Have no doubt in your mind that that's what's going on, and you need to have that poise. And what I do is I choose the mythological moments I want to focus my mind on for greatness. I choose mythological moments like Jesus being nailed up on the cross and just blessing everybody, or just giving himself up into God right at the end and just like loving it. I choose moments like that. I focus my mind on them. How many hours have you put in doing that? I have other phantasmagorical things. I fantasize riding dragons, and I imagine it. I imagine specifically exactly the scene from Avatar. This is a huge superhero training call this is right now, because I'm actually revealing part of the mystery and the spiritual foundation that actually brought this whole training together a few years ago. Very inspired by Avatar, the movie, and then Avatar, the Wisdom in the book. An incredible book, this Avatar Wisdom, linked to the Bhagavad Gita and the times that we're living in right now. And so what I do as a yogi, as a spiritual warrior, is I think about, in my practice, the moment in the film Avatar when he jumped onto the big red dragon and rode it back to the big council meeting by the Tree of Souls and landed it, the huge red dragon that was part of the tribe's mythology. And only a few men in the whole history of the tribe, you know, as old as the Tree of the Souls, had ever done this. And so this American Marine called Jake Sully, who was disabled, lands this thing in this huge blue body. And so I focus my mind on that because I personally have a beast I ride. And if I don't ride it, it is definitely going to ride me. If you know anything about evil or the devil in the world, then you know it's in your body. It's in your body. So you have to ride it as part of the physical experience. So that's what yoga is for, to be boss of the serpent, the snake, the dragon energy that can, if it's toxic, it's big, big trouble. If it's sweet and pure and gentle and good, it's all good news. Most people's dragon is toxic.
It's very powerful. Thank you, brother. A lot to consider there. If you don't ride it, it's going to ride you. I think that's a very good way of looking at it. You can't just be passive and hope for the best. We have to be active and make it happen and go for it. And so our last question today is, let me just pull it up again. Here we go. The last question is from Andrea, and it's about pain. I have another question about pain. I have found a deficiency in my hormone supplementation, got it fixed, and most of the pain has dissipated. Yay! I've been reflecting on the experience and was wondering if having pain in your life is a messenger, a reminder. I was wondering how it reminded me of how much pain I used to have before changing my diet and lifestyle. It was kind of a good reminder what I came through and how quickly solutions come now. Last discussion, I remember hearing that superheroes don't need to walk around toughing out constant pain, and I completely agree. Lots of love, lots of laughs. Please discuss physical pain as a benefit in our material experience. Thank you so much for all your insights and time. I love you so much. Blessings, Andrea. Taylor, do you have any feeling about this? Pain as a messenger?
Yeah, well, it certainly can be. And I would use it for that. And I'm not quite sure what the question is, though.
Basically, as far as I can understand, she's saying, can you please discuss physical pain as a benefit in our material experience? It was a good reminder what I came through and how quickly solutions come. Is pain a reminder? Is pain a messenger? Pain
well,
helps
you know,
her change
look
her
at,
diet and lifestyle.
Yeah, okay, now I think I understand. You know, for me, everything in the universe is a messenger. Everything that shows up in my physical, mental, emotional, spiritual world is a messenger. You know, it could be an animal running in front of me. and that to me is a messenger. You know, you have like my animal book, I go look up and see, well, what does that animal indicate? Because I figure if it is coming into my life, of all the billions of things out there, then it's a messenger. Just like I look at all people and communications as that. Because, look, you know, there's how many people on the planet, and there's these ones that we just happen to have conversations with. I mean, to me, that's always significant. Not only who the people are that I end up interacting with, but what are they saying? And I listen to everything as that, as guidance, you know. And I actually begin my day asking to receive clear messages and guidance. And so from that point on, I'm just kind of watching and looking and listening and observing. And always there's a rich. My day is a rich palette of messages. It could be said. And then it's just up to how to interpret them or how are they going to occur for you. So I think absolutely pain, it can be a messenger. And like you said, in the case where it had you change your whole lifestyle and diet, that is often, you know, what happens when people get these health prognoses of this or that or the other thing. You know, you've got cancer, you got this. It can be a huge opportunity to wake up and pay attention to ourselves, to our bodies, to what it really needs. And, you know, I had a client who fell down the steps and broke her back, and she's like, do you think this is a message? I think this is a message. And, you know, one of her constant complaints was that she was just doing too much and she just wishes she could just relax for a while. Prior to this, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. I would see it as that. And the real opportunity in the messages, you know, so a lot of people, on the other hand, can just completely spiral down with a cancer diagnosis, for example. You know, I think I share with you this great little example of that with Deepak Chopra, who, you know, we had these people they were all set up to get biopsies to determine if they had cancer or not on some part of their body, I don't know what. And there was going to be a whole group that was going to have a positive outcome and a whole group that was going to have a negative. And they didn't know what category they were going to be in, but they were all hooked up to live blood cell analysis screens. So you could actually see how the blood cells were responding the moment they got the diagnosis. And you know, they were really interested in that. So the people that were told that they were cancer-free and they didn't have any cancer in their system, immediately upon hearing that, all of their white blood cells, you know, their whole immune system was enhanced instantly, just hearing that that you're cancer-free. And conversely, the ones who were told they had cancer, immediately their immune system actually started attacking itself. It started to degrade instantly. So one of the things I do when people call me and they say, you know, they just found out they have cancer, the very first thing I ask them is, have you told anyone yet? And I'm always happy when they say no, because I find what's critical from that point on is what is the story they're going to tell, if any at all? And what is the story they are going to tell themselves? Like, what does that mean? You have cancer. What are you going to have that mean? What are you going to do with that? Like, right away, in the beginning there was a word. That's the most critical conversation for me, is if I can get someone right then and there, as soon as they've had that diagnosis, and have a little chit-chat with them, and have them decide that what cancer is going to mean for them is this enormous, fantastic gift and opportunity to upgrade their whole system, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And that's what they're going to tell everyone they're doing, and they don't even need to use the word cancer ever again. And so, yes, I believe that everything in the universe, everything that we're surrounded with, everything that we interact with is a communication. We're in a dance with everything. We are not separate from anything. And if you've got some physical pain, great. You know, get in there and sort it out and feel it out. You know, I was remarking today, you know, Jeff's a beekeeper, and what I've discovered about bees stings is that bees know exactly, it isn't random and capricious. They don't sting random and capriciously. They know when they see your system where to sting that's going to, in your weakest point, because they want to take you down. You know, they want this individual who looks like a threat to their hive. They quickly assess your system and decide where is your weakest point, at which point they sting you, you're going to be in the most pain, and they'll disable you. And that's why bee stings are such a wonderful therapeutic treatment, because they're always going to sting you in the place that you need stimulation, on the meridian that you need the most stimulation above all else. You know, I'm sure you've heard of bee sting therapy. It's very popular for treating all sorts of things. But, you know, so, yeah, if you've got pain in a certain area, or, you know, even when I, like, cut myself or hit myself, I'm always interested in what is that area, because clearly it must need stimulation, or I wouldn't have hit it, or I wouldn't have cut myself, or I wouldn't have pain there. And I become interested in that, inquire into it. And so that's the opportunity I find of all these little messages, whatever they may be, pain, you know, things falling out of the sky, you know, on your porch, you know, animals crossing your way, conversations people have with you, you know, whatever it is. It was so amazing. Today I was in the car. I had to go someplace, which is rare because I try not to leave the house. But today I did, and Jeff had drawn me this map, which looked like something from another civilization, you know, like Egyptian, by the time I actually unfolded it to decipher it. And there I am seeing a stoplight, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the map he's giving me to navigate my way here in this unknown territory? And I was so perplexed, and I'm looking at the map, I'm turning it, like, I didn't even know which direction to turn it. I didn't know what up was down, you know. There was that completely, you know, bizarre. And I just happened to glance next door to me, and this guy was sitting there, and he goes, do you need help? We were at the stoplight, and he goes, can I help you? Do you need to know where to get someplace? I'm like, how does he know that? Like, how has he just placed here at this exact moment, at this exact red light. I mean, all right, sure enough, I was fumbling with a piece of paper that probably maybe could have looked like I didn't know what I was doing. But, I mean, literally, I just turned my head to the left, and he was right there. Right there. And he had exactly the answer I needed. And it was all in one word, and it just happened in a split second before the light changed, and I was on my way. That was the only thing I needed, that one thing he said. And I was just thinking, you know, this is really, what a blessed existence this is. The blessed existence that, you know, here he is, just plopped down. The messenger, the exact soul I needed at this exact moment. And that's what life really is like. It's like that all the time. All that's going on all the time. If we're in relationship with it like that, if that's how we have it construed, if that's how we see everything that comes into our life as a divine gift and blessing. Isn't that right, Mr. McIntosh?
Absolutely. It's a wonder. It truly is a wonder what's happening and the way it happens. And, you know, one of the things that I've been writing about in my book that I'm doing at the moment is, I'm going to actually do a whole book on this because it's such a big topic, a separate book, about the subconscious mind and the conscious mind and what we see and why we see the things that we do and how come we all look at the world differently. And, you know, based on research into this, we have about 4 million bits of information coming to us from the world around us, and we only actually see in our conscious mind 40, but there's actually 40 million. So if you imagine like an enormous screen and there's like this tiny little point that you're looking at, you know, like, or you could imagine like underneath your feet is a tiny point and there's this huge amount of space that you just can't see. We're not seeing things as they are. We're seeing this tiny, 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 tiny version of life. And why are we seeing that particular tiny, tiny version? It's based on our beliefs, based on our level of consciousness. And so, you know, Taylor, in this case, you know, her version of reality is that she sees people who show up and things appear that are supportive of her. Someone else would just be screwed out. You know, they'd have a terrible day and they'd get lost and, you know, that just would continue for years and years and years. So what we're sharing with you is to be able to see the benefit in everything, see the wonder in everything. It's all wonderful, as Taylor's always on about nowadays. It's all wonderful. And, you know, when it comes to pain, whenever I'm experiencing physical pain or illness of any kind, I notice that my my dietary intake changes somewhat. So, you know, not massively because I already eat well anyway, but I go to the extreme of like anti-inflammatory stuff, tons of turmeric, and like everything is just like absolutely over the top, stellar. I find all these fantastic superfoods and supplements in the cupboard that I haven't been using. It's just like all the goodies come out and I'm knocking back all this crazy stuff and then it's all taken care of. But when I'm ill, I realize that in those moments I have to question myself, why don't I always do this? How come I'm not always eating the best stuff ever? How come I'm not always completely on point? How come I'm not always resting well? And so I think benefit of being ill, benefit of pain, is that it upgrades our level of mastery and level of our standards in a way go up. And then we just ask ourselves, how can I incorporate this new awareness into my life in general? And if we did that in, you know, overall, you know, not just when we get sick but all the time, we would never, ever, ever, ever have problems, you know. So there is massive benefit in it, of the benefit of pain, but we want to take that benefit, apply it into our practical life, and then be free of it, you know, be free of it. I don't think we should be, in any case, seeking out pain to teach us lessons. Ideally, we just learn the lesson, and then we don't need the pain. So our ideal vision for all of you listening to this is that you learn the lessons that we're sharing with you so that you don't need to suffer anymore in your lives. That's why we're sharing this, so that you can just take it on, get the result, and you don't need to go through the suffering that people in the world are having to endure, and it's getting more and more. So for all of us, just take it on seriously, take it to the next level, apply it, get the result, and let's just keep up, 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 and away, as Taylor says, from here
That's
on
right.
out.
And we need grace around us to protect us, because Icarus landing needs grace. It's not a joke. Icarus being deceived is not a joke. The whole economic thing collapsing is not a joke, Environmental destruction is not a joke. War, militarized police state is not a joke. These things are heavy. GMO is heavy. Food is really heavy. The way the system is engineered, where it can be turned into a food desert within about 2 or 3 days. Within 1,000 miles in every direction, no food whatsoever. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's been set up. So where's your garden? Where's your water supply? How clean is it? I just have those two questions. It's a very powerful time to make some really smart moves. If you've got money now, if you have money right now available, you've got to make some smart moves. Lock into something a little more solid than a house in suburbia that you might be, whatever. Whatever. Look at your neighborhood. Look at the trend. I have a couple of clients in Oakland, California. Successful mother, very switched on, young son, teenage boy, getting into trouble in Oakland, starting to get on the wrong side of the line, play with the, with the chances in life. Man, oh man, oh man. And I've been consulting for them for the last couple of months. And you got to make some moves to get in the grace. People are trapped in certain situations. So we need to spiritually extricate ourselves. Apply our heart and mind to God in Manabar from surrender in the early hours of the morning, and have our psyches, have our souls cleansed by the light. This is how chairs may disrupt. Howard Wills can do miracles because he's been cleansed by the light. That's what a powerful yogi superhero is. We've been cleansed by the light. But if we don't go and offer ourselves to the light, at the only time of day when you can really get any, really quality stuff. If you need it, if you need medicine, it's like this. How much medicine have you already had in your life? If God's love, your heart given to God, your mind given to God, and you've been held in the sweet embrace of the Divine Mother's love, in that peace, in that perfect peace, how many hours and hours and hours and hours have you got? If you haven't got many, then you don't have that much in your tank, and you're not that familiar with even how to let go. Surrender, be detached, emotionally detached from outcomes. You're not so bound up by all your karma, so your triggers aren't so bad. And you can navigate, but it's like what Shakespeare said, navigating the sea of troubles. It's not a little thing. We're in a tiny little boat. Your individuality, who you think you are, little old Nick Good, Uncle Nick, with his pipe and slippers. That's not who we are. Far from it, in fact. But if you don't think about that, you're just some silly little fellow in a little boat, and it's starting to get windy. And it's starting, the waves are starting to flop about. And it's not stopping. We're on this thing, you know, Arjuna has to fight the battle. This is a huge thing. You have to ride that chariot on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You have to do it. You have to do it. Icarus has to land. You don't have a choice. You're in this thing. It's arranged to move. It's been observed to behave.
Fantastic.
Did we lose Brother Nicholas?
Can you hear me?
Icarus has
landed. Yeah, now we can, yeah.
Icarus has finally landed. So.
Yeah.
Yes, well, on that note, let's just read this little quote, shall we? Everyone's heard this, of course, but this seems like a good time to read it. This is the famous Hopi quote. You've been telling people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour. And there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other. And do not look outside of yourself for the leader. Then he clasped his hands together, smiled, and said, "This could be a good time. There's a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore. Push off into the middle of the river. Keep our eyes open and our heads above the water. And I say, see who is in there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time for the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Vanquish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we've been waiting for." That sums up this call quite well, don't you think?
Yeah, so beautiful. That's so powerful.
Very powerful. So it is. Well, another powerful superhero call is wrapping up. And hopefully we had some guests on this call. I don't know if we ever figured that out, but certainly, as you can see,
these calls
are not to be missed.
Absolutely. So anyone who wants to bring on any of their friends, relatives, people who are interested in taking their lives to the next level, feel free. If they want to ask questions, that's all good. And you guys, anything you want to ask us is all wonderful. And yeah, let's just keep the dialogue. If there's anything that you would like us to talk about that we haven't already in these calls, or any suggestions you have, or anything that would support you more, let us know in the when you ask your questions, just tell us. these calls are for you, so just let us know how we can help you more and more and more. That's what we're here for. So you tell us. You tell us. We are your humble servant. All right.
I love it. So, I love it. Superhero training calls, man. I hope these are all getting recorded and flipping.
Yeah, no,
there's
a huge backlog, bro. But if anyone doesn't know this already, we've done these calls since 2011, and they're all archived in the superhero training. So you could go back, you could listen to one of these a day, you know, and it would just take you, it would last you months by now.
Let's make that available.
Yeah.
Yay! Yeah, these are amazing times. We just could keep pumping you up and pumping you up. You've got to go out there and do it. Are there any more questions, bro?
No, that's it for today. There's one quick question on the Q&A, which I don't quite understand, which is, I'm a newbie and don't understand being in the past, present, and future. But I think
Past, present, and future are dimensions of time. You have to start thinking about time and space as elements like earth, air, fire, and water. So we know that this world, this physical material world, is made of earth, air, fire, and water. That's what they call the elements. In some cultures, switch them around, add another one. But what we do is we add time and space and consciousness. So we say consciousness is interfacing with this alchemy of elements. And so past, present, and future are just three aspects of time. That's all it is. Memories, current, perceived appearance, and possible futures. Your higher self is your future you. Your higher self is a future you, a future version of yourself, is your higher self. Your lower self is your past. So your lower self is always trying to drag you into things that you've already done and can be over, but they've been habitualized and we've become addicted to them, cellular addiction. So by projecting your mind, especially after meditation or during meditation, into the future, into your higher self or a higher self, and imagining your imagination, Einstein said the imagination is more important than knowledge. We have tremendously high quality knowledge that we share with you. So goodness me, imagination is more important. So you put these two things together, you see. The knowledge of, who knows that your higher self is your future self? Well, you do now. You know that. That's become your knowledge. Will you think about that and apply that knowledge? And then it becomes wisdom. So you imagine yourself who you desire to be, who you imagine yourself to be. And you need to use your imagination in a big way, in a powerful way. And what we like to do is talk about archetypes, and that's why we call it superhero training. You're not supposed to be an ordinary person. You're supposed to be an extraordinary one, a superhero. We're in disguise. I like to consider myself like a top secret agent, undercover. I'm undercover here now in Maui, driving through this just stop by, cruising up this main street in Paia. I'm undercover. See, my mission is so secret, I don't even know. I don't need to know. I don't need to know. All I need to know is who I am. Who I am. Who do I belong to? Who do I work for? Who's my boss? Who do I belong to? You see? And invest in that relationship. That's all you have to do. And then everything sorts itself out perfectly. Life is supposed to cooperate. It's supposed to be cooperative. The drama is supposed to be cooperative. If we surround ourselves with yogi souls, drama, what does it do? Brother Michael, it cooperates. And we like it when the drama cooperates. The drama is wonderful. And I personally like it when the elements cooperate with me. I was visualizing yesterday, I've stopped the rain, tremendous, extraordinarily powerful, torrential downpours on two occasions, commanded the elements to cease with my will, supported by a bunch of people that I could, you know, cajoled and harangued and made them stay where they were instead of running away from this storm that was blasting us. I've done that several times. And I want the elements with me in these times, feeling that I might have to go back to the United Kingdom again quite soon and open a bank account and take care of some financial affairs in my deceased mother's estate. And I was thinking, okay, here we go again, going to Mordor once again, another crack at the tower, the Tower of Mordor, another opportunity to throw the ring into the fire. Okay, here we go again. So I'm with my mind up in these mythological ways. I'm Jake Sully landing that red dragon at the council, the tribal gathering. In the last hope for the tribe to save the Tree of Souls, where their whole story is going down the shitter. Their whole story going down the nuclear toilet. Remind you of any culture in the world, you know, like right now? So what are you thinking about, you know? Are you thinking about people and things, people and things, people and things? Small minds think about people and things. They talk about people and things. That's what a small-mindedness is. So what is great-mindedness? Well, you think about mythological things, archetypal things. You talk about purpose and meaning. In fact, it's infinite consciousness, eternal consciousness. That's the next step, you see. But you want to stay out of the small-mindedness as much as possible. People and things, people and things. Let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Ho'oponopono. And we haven't let it go. We haven't let it go today. We didn't let it go yesterday. We hadn't done the day before. And for 10,000 million years before that, if you want, to the ancestors who were rabbiting on and fighting and killing and murdering and getting jealous and stealing and all the rest of it, like maniacs in every direction, you know, just as long as there is human history, there's trouble and drama. And what causes it all is ignorance. Ignorance of the self, ignorance of the true self, ignorance of the one self, ignoring oneself. And superhero training brings you back into this through practice. And the times that we're in are cracking the whip now. The house is burning down. Your house might not be, but lots of houses on the outskirts of town and in the neighborhood are on fire, burning down now, burning down to the ground. And there aren't enough fire trucks to run around and put them all out, and it was never designed to be put out. It's designed to burn. If it needs to burn, it will burn. And that's why you've got the solar, the solar activations, the magnetic pulses that are coming through now. You know what they're blaming on global warming or calling global warming. It's such a myopic, egoic, bullshit way of looking at what's actually going on. You know, the light is ejaculating through the sun at us and blasting us with gamma rays and the most extraordinary rays of unimaginable power that activate the particles of creation in such a way that they will fry us alive if they need to, like a microwave fries a fly. They will cook your particles, ego's particles, and purify the entrails of humanity, every single one of us, where we sit or stand right now, easily, without the universe even noticing, like the tiniest little sparrow's silent fart in the middle of nowhere. No one will notice the complete incineration of all ego's bullshit. It's so easy for life to do that. And so through the grace, we are allowed to do it ourselves, to ourselves consciously, but we still have to do it. And at the moment, that is a tremendous challenge. It probably always has been. Right now, it's extremely challenging. But Jesus said, you will do greater things than me. I thought about that a lot. You know, why would Jesus say to me, of all people, that I am going to do greater things than him? Why would he say it to me? Talk about, you know, little leagues, big leagues. Well, he said it because you're going to have to. You're going to have to, buddy. If you're going to pull it off, you will do greater things than me because of the way the life is geared up around you. I mean, how many people listening to this call grew up in an obscene community? In perfect harmony, sharing the most beautiful wisdom and the most perfect music and the most perfect climatic microclimates by the most beautiful rivers. How many people? Not many of us. So that means you didn't get the same start in life that Jesus got, or any of those great vassals of purity. We were thrown into a completely different fish tank. You see? So you gotta get hold of the creature, get hold of the beast. Don't let it ride you. You've gotta ride it. You have to be able to command the beast. If you don't think there's a beast, there isn't one. But it clearly states that there is. The beast is the world, 666. Number of the beast, the numbers, the machine, it's the beast. That's what the Matrix told you. The beast behaves like a machine, but it's also a virus. It's in your body. It's also a virus. It can possess the physical vehicle like a virus with a consciousness. That's also the beast, see? So it behaves like a machine, but it also adapts like a virus. And it's in us. And it's also genetically programmed into our DNA. Our DNA, clearly, obviously, any single one of us, you can have a DNA test, and you're missing something. Something's been cauterized. It's been done on purpose. And you've inherited those genes. It was done. And it was just given to you in a chain. You didn't have any choice about it. So this is a heck of a thing to jump the gene cauterization. You see? But this is what the spark of God does. That's what we do. That's called the leap of faith. And it usually takes place in the dark night of the soul. For many people, it takes place at their physical death. Or sometime in that. But for us, it can take place consciously, and this is what ascension is. This is what biological transmutation is. This is what the whole game is all about. You know how the Buddhist monks spontaneously combust, spontaneous combustion. They can just light on fire, or the old yogic saints, they can just, you know, disappear and there's just a bunch of flowers left when they die. You know, these things is consciousness and biology interfacing with the elements. So time, space, earth, air, fire, water, past, present, and future. You are being challenged as a superhero to redefine your mythology. We all are. So you've jumped onto this train with us, this magic train. Nobody knows where it's going. Nobody knows where it's going. Brother Michael's not pretending to know where it's going. Nor am I. Nor is Taylor. We're calling to the friends in the community to help us ride this train, this magic carpet, through into something wonderful. And we unify it through our consciousness. That's why we need to form chains and circles and spheres of consciousness, bubbles of consciousness, groups. And we must, you know, triangulate and meditate. You know, meditating in threes is a really good thing to do. Triangulation. I've become really into geometry over the last few days over here. I've been doing a lot of geometry in my own mind with this mother, father, grandmother, 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 grandfather, grandfather, and me, pyramid and constellation. And I've been wearing these stars like a crown, like Jesus had a crown of thorns, you know, is depicted as, with a crown of thorns dying on the cross. And I've got a crown of stars. And those stars represent my soul, the soul, mother soul, father soul, grandfather soul, grandfather soul, grandmother soul, grandmother soul. And I'm bringing perfect harmony into that constellation through my goodwill, through my intentions, through my prayer. And through those good feelings and that goodwill, those good intentions, that higher consciousness, blending with those emotional states, those blissful states, what happens? I change my DNA. I bring all of my DNA, all of them, into harmony with the great spirit of life. And then, if I have the courage, if I have the courage, and it's in my destiny, I can arc across, I can spark across. And it doesn't matter when that is. That can happen at any time. A nuclear bomb could be falling right on your head, or you could be sitting in a bar in the middle of the Arizona desert selling crystal meth to the dirtiest bikie gang in America. I kid you not. If you know who you are, you've done that, you found that key, and you arc across, you can do it anywhere, any place, any time. And CPR training is just to help you prepare for that consciousness and to experience that as a practice day after day after day after day. And you can do it any time. You can do it right now if you want. Because that's the great teaching of Jesus, this whole thing about dying into God, dying in the, entering into the death of Jesus is a great secret. I'm a great Christian scientist, a student of Christian science. I'm a great student of that science. I really, really got into that for a long time. It's good to understand those mysteries. What does it mean to enter into the death of Jesus? That's a great secret. Well, it's in the discovery of the secrets in through the practice. And so what I'm saying is that it means you can die every breath, every exhalation you can die, every moment you can die, and in any time, any place, anywhere you can offer yourself, you can die to God. Die to God's love, die to your higher self, to the next grandest version of yourself. Ask God to help you hold that and ask the grace to bring it forth, and ask the angels to lead, guide, and direct you and protect you, and ask the invisible ambassadors of goodness to come to your aid all of the time, all the time, all the time, anytime you do anything. Anything at all. when Peter Caddy and Eileen Caddy were being initiated to establish the Findhorn Foundation in northeastern Scotland, 51 years ago that place was established. 51 years, spiritual community, absolute lighthouse in a world of darkness. For 51 years, started on a sand caravan site in windy northeast Scotland at the beach, right next to the beach on sand, growing the most beautiful, amazing gardens. Fertility and abundance. Nature, spirit, magic, producing 56 pound cabbages consistently. 56 pound. 40s, 30s, 20s. Huge, huge crops of food from the sand. Findhorn Foundation, when Peter Caddy started that place, when they were being, initiated into it, when things weren't going the way they were planning it, you know, and they were having to do this and having to do that. They were running a guest house hotel, and Eileen was beginning to get guidance from God. She was beginning to get up early in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, get out of the caravan, and go across the windy car park and go and sit in the drafty toilets on one of the toilet seats, sit in there and channel, get the downloads and write them down, handwrite them down, bring it back and give the guidance for the day. And Peter would follow this guidance. And eventually they got the guidance to take this little hotel over, to manage this hotel. Peter was the manager. And he would, as a practice, as a discipline, any decision whatsoever that went on in the kitchen, he wouldn't even ask the chef. He would go running upstairs, and I'd been to this place. I was part of this community for 3.5 years. I lived here in this particular place for a long time. And I've been up these stairs, these huge staircases on purple velvet carpet. And it's like a royal staircase up this old-fashioned hotel in northeast Scotland. And Peter would go bounding up these four flights of stairs to ask Eileen in her room what they should do with the menu. Should we have potatoes and cream tonight? Should we put a little more salt in the soup? Up and down, up and down, up and down these stairs. And they were being conditioned and initiated to hold this great and pillar of light in the world, the spiritual community called the Findhorn Foundation. You can go there. Anyone can go there. Incredible place. And the light that streams in from above is undeniable and would floor anyone sensitive enough to really appreciate the abundance of it. So incredible. So incredible. So what's the moral of the story is? Listen to your guidance. Ask for help. The miraculous invisible support is there. Group together in community. Build gardens. Fortify your psychic field, your ancestral constellation, the souls in your family. Fortify them. Everyone needs to have practiced Ho'oponopono. Everyone needs to have prayed and asked for forgiveness and to forgive each other and forgive themselves. Everyone needs to be soul conscious. Everyone needs to be improving their health and reducing their consumption needs drastically. So you got the superhero levels of nutritional requirements to thrive. So you can have superhero adventures all day. You can go out bounding around nature, having so much fun, hiking up things and running along rocks and up rivers and swimming, just having so much fun in nature, climbing trees, building gardens, and organizing your life so that you can actually do that. Because it's no use saying, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. All that bullshit that you are connected to, if you are, and your friends and family are, is being burned down today. The fire's arranging. You heard it here on Super Training, direct from the horse's mouth. Hanuman's tail is singed. We can smell the smoke. Thank you.